And that was Play That Beat by the Wiz Kid, the GLOBE. You are listening to Trying to Sound Intelligent.
Trying to Sound Intelligent. It's Joshua here.
And Mr. G. And we have got the guest, wonderful guest, Bridget Minimore.
Hi.
We'll be speaking to you later. And so, Trying to Sound Intelligent, it is a podcast where we are two old grumpy men.
Two grumpy men and a lovely lady.
And a lovely young lady.
Trying to find out the meaning of life.
Trying to find out the meaning of life,
yeah,
indeed.
42.
And you see, you keep saying 42, right? Mm-hmm. And you keep asking me or looking at me as if I don't get the reference. I get your dumb reference.
Don't get the reference.
I get your Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy reference. I've read So Long and Thanks for the Fish. I've read Life, the Universe, and Everything. I've read The Restaurant at the End of the Universe. So you trying to be all smart with your little Douglas Adams reference,
someone
right? I get it. Because I know you watched the film.
Too late?
Right?
I
know you watched the film. In fact, cut everything.
Help.
Why are we here? Tell him, Josh.
How do I do a
why was there no podcast last week?
How do I do a smoke signal through the radio?
The reason why there was no podcast was because my hard drives died.
Oh my God.
So we are having to do everything again.
This is
Groundhog Day.
This is Groundhog Day. We've been here before, right?
Bridget
can verify, didn't we nail Josh last week?
We nailed him to the cross.
And magically, the recording disappeared. We nailed him.
It was one point right at the end where we
nailed him to a cross. We nailed you and your morality and your hive convoluted BS. We nailed you.
I would also like to point out that the weeks prior to that I nailed you and that
but Bridget wasn't here. So it's just your word against mine, do you know what I mean?
For the record, last week was a crucifixion.
It was a crucifixion of Josh.
I rose. You may have taken one hard drive in a few days, but I rose from the dead.
No, you didn't.
That's exactly
you didn't,
how Jesus did it.
You didn't rise, right? You sunk. And you've just risen to ground level, right?
Starting from the bottom.
Anyway, okay
here.
Then. I don't want to get Bridget involved in our wars and our
involved.
Battles,
yeah.
Right? I know you've been involved, but I mean, you're meant to sort of be the voice of reason here, right? But anyway.
Cool, I'll take that.
We have got the wonderful guest. Well done, Josh, on getting a guest. You know, I mean, that's my favorite. To come twice. Exactly, you know, to a second meeting. And Bridget is a fantastic author and a poet, and she's got
a journalist now.
Yeah, she speak about all these things.
Writing for the pool,
right? And
skinny dipping in the pool.
I don't know what
that
you're talking about.
Creepy.
That did not sound creepy at all. That
exactly.
At all.
Yeah. I'm going to ride off for the rest of the day.
We're going to get to the creepy bits a bit later on.
Oh my God.
But anyway, no. I mean, like, so you've recently released a pamphlet. Has it been released yet?
No, it's been released next week on Monday. Although
if Josh's hard drive. By the time we get this episode out, Bridget would have written like 20 books, right? Bridget would have written like, you know, her version of Harry Potter set in Ghana.
One of you are going to have a
coffee or someone
So let's introduce the listeners, or the two listeners, which is basically me and Josh, to Bridget. So just tell us a little bit about
what is your book about?
Yeah, what's your book about?
God. So it's called Titanic.
Yeah.
Like the boat.
Yeah.
Like the boat. Like the boat, like the film. Because I wanted a really obvious metaphor about how the relationship described in the pamphlet is described, well, like what happens, it kind of sinks and crashes into
Would you then call it a relationship wreck?
He didn't even say that right. He should have said relationship shipwreck. That's how he should have said it. But he said relationship wreck.
And then laughed at his own joke.
Have you been sitting on that for a week? Is that why?
Oh yeah, definitely.
I cracked this joke last week.
No, you didn't.
I did. You had the same
in your head.
No, I didn't.
You cracked another bad joke. Yeah, I can't remember
quite a few bad jokes.
It was a relationship.
In fact, I think that's why your hard drive crashed, because it was full of Josh's bad jokes. No, sorry. What? I've got so much beef with this guy. It's unreal, right? And I feel I'm not doing. We're doing you a disservice, right?
Okay.
So yeah. So just talk about the.
Well, it's 25 poems.
Yeah.
And it's called Titanic. So there's sort of two, I guess, or three kind of currents going through it.
Yeah.
One is this idea of a relationship that's just doomed from the very beginning.
Yeah.
One is this metaphor of like the boat, the ship, and water. I really love water. I really love boats. I really love like the idea of the Titanic. I just think it's kind of cray that this thing that people were like, only God, like who tempts fate by writing only God can sink the ship,
yeah,
on the beginning, on the front page of a newspaper.
Guess whose dumb phone that is.
I know.
Yeah.
I was trying to ignore
Josh
it
is so not
out.
Paying any attention Jesus to any Christ. Of this.
I am paying all the attention.
He's
I
paying
have
any attention.
Exactly.
I am.
Anyway,
yeah.
Gee.
Yeah.
So yeah, the next one is, I guess, yeah, the theme of the ship, and then the last is music.
And you use a lot of musical references within.
Yeah.
So you know you
constantly every single title of all 25 poems is taken from a song.
There was a Britney Spears song, wasn't
there's
there?
There's a Britney Spears song.
I think that's my favorite poem.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Which Britney Spears song?
Really
I'm not
know?
Telling you. You should read it, shouldn't you?
The book hasn't come out yet, dude. The book hasn't come out yet. But obviously, you know what I mean. By the time this comes out, do you know what I mean? It'll be on its 8 billionth edition.
I found it on Kick-Ass.
All right.
You can download it.
Oh wow! Targets. So you've illegally downloaded her book,
right?
And the book is coming out on Outspoken Press, which is done by our good friend Anthony Anaxagoru,
yes.
Right? And so you're taking not only money from Bridget, you're taking money from him as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
And he ain't a weak guy.
Yeah.
he'll come knocking on your door at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? Josh, don't be downloading my shit, man.
So okay, the question I want to ask is like, your book is based on real experiences,
yeah, a lot of them.
It also features. I imagine a significant other, no longer a significant other.
Yeah.
Do they know you've written about them?
Nope. Well, I mentioned it once, and they.
What, in passing?
Yeah, literally in passing.
Was it like
hi John, we're breaking up. I've written a poem. Bye. Say hello to my little friend Tone.
It was just like I don't know, one of those things. It was one of the poems where.
All right. Cut the crap. Right. Who yeah. dumped who?
It wasn't that.
You dumped him. She dumped him. Oh my God!
I can't believe
she dumped him. Booyah! My man's crying. My man is at home crying. My man's crying. My man is looking at the bottom of a bottle of Jack Daniels, wondering what's happened to
you.
He tried to write his own book. You haven't worked. I feel so hurt. I feel in pain.
Too much energy and coffee in the system. For the record, I was definitely the more heartbroken party.
If you read
the book, you'll tell.
No. You're a great writer. You're a great writer. I've seen you perform. No. You are a great writer. You can emulate any form.
There's an African proverb.
Yeah.
Until the lion learns to speak, the tales of victory will always go to the hunter.
There you go, man.
And you can't
argue them African poets, man. You know what I'm saying? Even though Josh isn't naming the country, the tribe, or anything, he just said African poems, right?
Yes.
It's a corner, man.
Believe, man.
Leave me alone.
You know what I mean, right? You know, there's an African proverb.
This is in the roots. Stop. Like,
there's an African proverb that goes, I'm loving it. And somebody who isn't loving it is Bridget's ex. Right.
So help me.
So how do you feel? How do you feel? No, okay. I won't say on a serious front. On a slightly less comical front, right? How do you feel? How would you feel? Like, say, if you were like, because you're going to be going performing this like all over the country, right?
Yeah.
And you know, even you said across the world, right? But how do you feel if, like, let's say, if your other half walks in, not other half, your severed half, right? You know what I mean?
Definitely severed, right?
Exactly. Right? How would you feel if he walked in on, like, he goes, oh, Bridget Millimore, oh, yeah, I remember her, oh, maybe it'd be good to catch up, whatever. And he comes into a room and he sees you performing.
I don't think he would, but
hypothetically,
I was thinking about this. I was wondering, because, you know, he got a Facebook invite to my book launch, like everyone on my friends list did.
That don't come.
What, sorry?
Facebook invites don't count.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah. But I think he'd be okay with it. I actually think he'll be fine with it, which is why I did it. I used him as a point of reference, but as time's gone on, like, I was writing these poems for.
I think you end the phrase with, I used him.
A lot of the poems, like, it was like a year. I've never spent so much time on something, and they just, a lot of them, there's a few that are really very specific, but a lot of them, like, I stole, like, ideas and stories from some of my friends and some of their experiences. The Britney Spears poem that Josh mentioned, like, that came from a conversation I had with a friend.
Yeah.
And we both had really similar experiences. And I was like, wow, this is just wild. But your experience is so much bigger than mine.
Mm.
And it isn't, like, it is about heartbreak and it is about love, but it's also just about how ridiculous we all get. I was looking over the, I was doing stuff for my website, and I was looking at the people who wrote the nice things for the back, and all of them mentioned, like, either absurdity or ridiculousness. And I was like, yeah, you guys get it. You guys get that I'm not trying to, like, make you weep and cry. I'm kind of want you to laugh. And I think love is funny. I think how ridiculous we all get is funny. I always say that, you know, I'm out here for the girls who have zero chill. Because zero chill is good, you know. Lose your chill, be bold.
Also wanted to point out something that you mentioned last week in the hard drive, in the lost hard drive, was that you made yourself sort of the butt of the jokes. Like, you were kind of like,
it's
mostly about, it's kind of written from the point of view of, you're the one who's stumbling, you're kind of the Bridget Jones in the narrative, as in, it's
she's
not
the Bridget really. Minimal.
Bridget Minimal, hey!
I've had someone mention Bridget Jones, and I was like, oh, yeah, I know, I'm going to get it now. But yeah, I do think if the poems were definitely more outward-facing, it would be different. I'd maybe feel guilty, or I'd have to, like, warn people, like... But I don't. Like, I use the words you a bit, but I use I, like, in every single poem. It's always looking at me. It's always looking at how ridiculous I am. Always looking at how weird I've been. Like, I never am just like, he's a dickhead. Even if I think that. No, that's me. But I just couldn't do that. Like, I just don't. That isn't what a poem is. Like, that's just boring.
Okay, with that in mind, I think we're going to have a lot more about this. We're going to talk with you again after, in the next episode, about your journalism and about other stuff. But
when we film that next week,
computer crashes, this joke will run forever. So, do you have a song for us? To close out the section.
I haven't bought song I chose last time. I want to choose something fun. It's so early in the morning.
You said something like, was it Wetty Fab or...
Fetty Wap.
Do you want to play Fetty Wap?
Let's
play Fetty Wap. Let's play Trap Queen.
Trap Queen by Fetty Wap. All right, cool.
Have you heard this?
Yes, of course I have.
I don't know how old you guys are. Man.
Wow. She bought us some Werther's Original Mints.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't know we had a 12-year-old in here.
I'm like, hey, what's up, hello? Since your pretty ass, soon as you came in the door, I just wanna chill, got a sack for us to roll. Married to the money, introduced her to my stove. Showed her how to whip it, now she remixing for low. She my track queen, let her hit the bando. We be counting up, watch how far them bands go. We just set a goal, talking matching Lambos. At 56 a gram, 500 grams though. Man, I swear I love her, how she work the damn pole. Hit the strip club, we be letting bands go. Everybody hating, we just call them fans though. In love with the money, I ain't never letting go. And I get high with my baby. I just left the mall, I'm getting fly with my baby, yeah. And I get right with my baby. I be in the kitchen cooking pies with my baby, yeah. I snatch a Ferrari and buy my BLM. I just might snatch a Renekulous, drop a couple on the ring. She ain't wanting for nothing because I got her everything. It's bitch, you up in the band though. Remind me where I can't go. When me boys got the stand though. Count up her little bands though. Boy, how fucking your bands go. Fetty Wap, I'm running 50,000 K. How I stand though. If you check them on my pockets, I'm like, and I am high with my baby. I just left them all, I'm getting fly. Cooking pies with my baby, yeah. And I get right with my baby. I just left the mall, I'm getting fly with my baby, yeah. And I get right with my baby. I be in the kitchen cooking pies. I'm like, hey, what's up, hello? Since your pretty ass, soon as you came in the door, I just wanna chill, got a sack for us to roll. Married to the money, introduced her to my stove. Showed her how to whip it, now she remix it for low. She my track queen, let her hit the bando. We be counting up, watch up all them bands go. We just set it though, talking matching Lambos. 56 a grand, 500 grand though. Man, I swear I love her, how she worth the damn pro. Hit the strip club.
Yeah, you hear my boy sounding like a zillion bucks on a track. I got whatever on my boy, whatever. Put your money where your mouth is. Money on the wood, make the game go good. Money out of sight, boys fights. Put up a shut up, huh? Nip the grit, RGF production.
And that was Fetty Wap with Track Queen, which was nowhere near as bad as a tribe that Mr. G made go ahead. I have to apologize for that.
No.
That was so bad.
That is,
I liked it.
That, I'm not going to say.
Zulu Nation, isn't it?
I'm not going to say that.
Zulu Nation, isn't it?
Yeah, Zulu Nation.
Zulu Nation,
right.
Trying to sound intelligent. Right. Well, but talk about Zulu Nation.
Yeah, we're going to. Yeah. It's going to be grim. No, that the reason why we started off with that tune, I mean, I'm not going to say that's an absolutely amazing tune. It's an early example of hip-hop.
We also have Bridget here.
And we have Bridget here as well.
Great.
Right.
Fantastic. Trying to sound intelligent. And we're going to... it's Bambaataa. I can't lie. Bambaataa is very, very problematic, right? Yeah. For those of you that don't know, Afrika Bambaataa, like one of the founding fathers of hip-hop, has been accused of several acts of child molestation.
Pedophilia.
And it is looking...
On a disgusting scale.
Yeah, on a disgusting... It's looking like it's Jimmy Savile of hip hop, right? I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm gonna put it out there.
I thought that was R. Kelly.
In my opinion,
let's not rank.
I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with it. I'm going through something here right now, right?
Let's not do that.
Okay.
For anyone that's probably like under 30 or under 35, the name Bambaataa isn't gonna probably mean anything to you whatsoever. But for those of us that were, you know, grew up on 80s hip hop and early 90s hip hop, there is no way that you wouldn't have come across the name Afrika Bambaataa. In terms of his the music that he put out, he didn't put out a lot of music, but what he is famous for is, I suppose, codifying what hip hop was. Do you know what I'm saying? So the elements of hip hop, the MCing, the DJing, the graffiti, the beatboxing, the breakdancing, right? That was all laid down by Bambaataa. And so it's very, very difficult. I mean, I went to go see my mum, was it like the weekend? And so, you know, I was just chatting to my mum, oh, I had to go and blah, blah, blah. And I just mentioned, I said, you know that like Afrika Bambaataa has been accused of being a paedophile, right? My mum was in shock, right? My mum had to actually sit down and take a breath because she met him in the 80s, right? You know, she met him in the 80s. And the thing with Bambaataa is that, like, he represented everything you wanted hip-hop to be, right? He's part of hip-hop folklore where here is a gang leader from one of the most notorious gangs in New York. He went over to Africa, came back as a teenager, decided, look, this gang shit has got to stop, changed his name to Afrika Bambaataa, and then held these block parties where anyone that was into hip-hop could then flourish and thrive, you know, because before hip-hop was on radio, before it was on TV, before it was in movies, it existed in block parties and existed in nightclubs. So whoever was in control of those was in control of the culture. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Right? And so, and, you know, he implemented the whole idea of, like, positivity, the whole idea of conscious. And when people talk about conscious hip-hop, I guarantee you, when people talk about the golden age of hip-hop, right, all those acts, we talk about Tribe Called Quest, Jungle Brothers, De La Soul, you know, Public Enemy, all those acts would have come through BAM. You know what I mean? Yeah. Right? They all would have given shout-outs to Zulu Nation. I don't think you can find a hip-hop record that came out probably prior to 95, which doesn't shout out Afrika Bambaataa and Zulu Nation. And the fact is that, like, it's looking like that he organized these parties so that he can get access to young boys. Oh. And that is, oh man, it's
the
difficult.
Enemy within.
Yeah, definitely the enemy within, right? Because, yeah, you know, there was a dude, I've been watching so much stuff, right? There was a dude that just came out, and like, this guy's like in his like 40s or something like that, and he just came out and he just said, like, you know, the you know, Bambaataa molested him over a period of time.
Oh,
and
man,
why would a fully grown man come out? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you listen to this guy, he's a tough dude. He's a tough guy. He's a gang guy. Do you know what I'm saying? Right? Mm-hmm. The way he talks, he's talking proper street. Why would you come out and do that when you got kids, you got family, you got nothing to gain?
Friends,
do you know what I'm saying?
That's the point. I mean, so often it's always like, oh, you know, these claims of false allegations, allegedly. I'm like, what do you gain from ever coming out with these sort of things? Like, no matter who you are, no matter how big you can be, like, no matter how big, like, your abuser could be anyone, but if they've got any modicum of power, they are, nothing's really going to happen.
And the name Bambaataa doesn't mean anything now, today. Yeah. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It's not like it was
not Bill Cosby.
Exactly, Bill Cosby. Yeah.
Where you can say, oh, you know,
it carries weight.
There's some financial information that could come out of it.
They can't. They haven't got. They're not getting money. I mean, they're not even like the.
I mean, I'm talking about the appearance.
Oh, okay,
With R. Kelly, with say someone like R. Kelly or Bill Cosby, people can say that, or Woody Allen, they can say that, oh, you know, this man, he's a big war chest, he's got lots of money.
Which is not true,
you know,
for the record.
Yeah, because for me, the first time RT had the experience of having someone who was famous, who I appreciated, who was then accused of child molestation, was Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And back in Nigeria, the word on the street was basically, this is just being done to get money off Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And of course, you can understand that kind of mentality because Michael Jackson is rich. Michael Jackson's only recourse, you know, to stop this from damaging his name and from stopping his Pepsi commercial money from stopping was to pay some hush money.
Yeah.
It's what R. Kelly did, it's what Michael Jackson did in the end. So therefore, you start thinking, oh, it's Hollywood, this is what people are doing. But with the case of African Bambaataa, there isn't any money.
Yeah.
You understand? He's not releasing a new album. He's not, you know, doing a greatest hit.
He's an old man.
He's
you
an old man. This the people who are coming out and saying this stuff about African Bambaataa, they're part of that culture. They're part of a culture where it suggests you're a man's man. You keep your secrets and your pain and your worries all inside. You don't reveal yourself to be any way weak. Otherwise, you might lose your standing amongst your mates.
Exactly.
So to come out and say another man, not just any other man, a man who is, as you've said, considered to be the founder, the glory days, the one and only true one, you know, he who returned from the grave and rescued hip-hop from the dark, to claim that this guy was a paedophile, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It breaks my heart, just the idea of how long it's been. Like, the idea, like, you know, for so many people who are survivors of sexual violence in any way, like, the justice system, like,
it's
it doesn't
fucked.
Work as a whole, but sometimes that justice system, it doesn't. Sometimes the justice system and, like, having that stamp of approval is, like, the best you can get.
Yeah.
And so for a lot of people, even though we all know that, you know, going to court, the trial, the ring, that whole ring-a-roll is going to be awful, at least that's something. But these people who don't have
Bridget,
that...
here's the fucked up situation. The statute of limitations means it's run out.
It's horrible.
So if you don't bring it within a certain time of becoming an adult, right...
Which
then that's
trying to
it.
Change now.
You know what I mean? So these dudes, this shit must have happened in the 80s or the 70s or the 80s, right? These guys have got, there's no legal recourse for them. And so one of the guys who came out with it is trying to get the statute of limitations removed for. Because who's to say if something's happened to you when you're 8 or 9, you know, it might take you 30, 40 years before you can even contemplate what's happened to you or process it to be even to come out and talk about it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know?
As going on that point, I think I want to move on to what I feel which is a bigger problem in all of this, which is the community's response. I mean, first off, I don't understand how African Bambaataa is allowed to go on a denial tour. That's the first problem. But anyway, people need to hear his
like opinion. No one's heard of Bambaataa in 10 years and suddenly he's like everywhere just defending himself.
But also the community's response to these accusations was pretty much to just double down and protect.
Nobody wants to believe because nobody wants to believe it because of all the quote-unquote good work that he's done. Do you know what I'm saying? And because, like, he does represent, in a way, he represents that conscious voice in hip-hop. And so anyone that's connected with that conscious voice in hip-hop now has got to reevaluate, where did this thing start off from?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I think it's a selfish thing. I think it's not wanting to feel complicit. I think selfishly, a lot of us, we don't want to feel like we're aiding and abetting an abuser. And I'm not, and we're not, you know, enjoying someone's music does not necessarily necessarily, like, it's still enjoying listening to Mambata's old records does not mean you are actively, like, pushing forward the sex trade in young children or whatever. But I think selfishly, we don't like to feel like we have any connection to any of that. And yeah. so it's much easier to just say no. You know, Bill Cosby is an abuser. Woody Allen is an abuser. Blah, blah, blah,
speaking
blah, blah.
Okay, but don't... Speaking on the Woody Allen stuff, yeah. I think it's actually a lot deeper than that. I feel like...
I actually do as well.
Yeah, I feel like people do want to have their cake and they want to eat their cake and have it. I feel like people don't even mind when they're putting money in the hands of these so-called abusers, you know, alleged abusers, because none of them have been able to be convicted. Although I do believe all of the survivors, I believe them just wholeheartedly, just because of the way the power structure has gone on.
Yeah.
And because of, you know, historical precedent. In the case of Woody Allen, and Woody Allen is my biggest bugbear because...
Yeah, mine too.
His daughter has come out repeatedly with Blue Jasmine and with his most recent film to say, this guy fucked me up, right?
Mm.
And if you look at the court case, what the judge actually said, because Woody Allen is fond of saying, oh, you know, it went to court, I was exonerated. He was not exonerated. The judge said, look, this clear shit has gone down. But if we run this girl at this age through the court system, she's going to be more damaged.
Yeah.
Which totally...
Yeah. So I'm going to drop it just for her sake. That's the only reason why Woody Allen is not making films about the prison system, right? Mm. From prison. Exactly. In a fucking cell. It's just... with an iPhone. And you have people like Kristen Stewart going... And also, someone who I'm a huge fan of, Kate Blanchett, going, there's so many stories. It's hard to believe.
The Kate Blanchett thing really... The list of people in Hollywood looked it up, who have actively not even just been silent, who have said anything. As far as I can tell, it's two people.
Yeah.
It's two people. And one was, despite all of the criticism of her, and I'm not a fan, but a little part of me will try and defend her if I can, Lena Dunham.
Yeah.
Lena Dunham wrote something and was like, listen, he's an abuser. And I was like, really? And I was like, you're the only person in Hollywood who... And then now, like a week ago, Susan Sarandon came out. Because Susan Sarandon doesn't give a fuck. But the thing is, Susan Sarandon is coming from such an immense... Like, she has done her fucking time. She has won her awards. She is out there. Like, Thelma and Louise came out, I think it was the anniversary, like 25 years ago. Yeah. Like, she has been there and done that. If she can only just give out two lines. And if you hear her, if you see her doing... She's doing an interview with Gina Davis, who is also... So in Thelma and Louise.
Yeah.
And
poor Gina.
Yeah, and Gina just so looked...
Cutthroat Island was a terrible film, but no one deserves Stuart Little.
I didn't finish it. Oh, God. And Gina just doesn't even say anything. And one of the journalists, eager for a bit, is like, you know, what do you think? And Susan's just like, I don't want to talk about Woody Allen. I have nothing good to say.
Yeah.
And everyone in that room goes pin drop silent. Yeah. And no one's saying anything. Gina isn't saying anything. And Susan's like, you know, I think he molested a child and it's not right. And then she just calls him out. She's like, you've gone silent, but that's true, or something. She's like, and I'm just like, wow. Like, even Susan Sarandon at that level, she is, like, making you guys gasp in horror that she would say something that is widely known.
Yeah.
And it's a fact.
Yeah.
Like, that if you look at... There's a journalist, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but she has been following this for, like, 20 years. And she has said she remembers going to Woody Allen's, like, PR lady... back in the days when he married Mia Farrow's other daughter. And she was like, I've heard this rumour, and the PR was horrified. She was like, how can you say such a disgusting thing? And apparently that's the MO, where you just deny, and then suddenly he's married.
And then even if you take it out of the realm of celebrity and music, just on a local level, right?
It's nasty. Do you know what I mean?
Like, you know, paedophilia, it's like this unwritten, unseen, huge crime which, you know, it affects generation after generation after generation. Because with the BAM stuff, I've been looking at so much stuff, and they're just saying that, like, it's in prison. Folks, dudes are coming out of prison. Do you know what I'm saying? And then they're gang leaders, and then they're raping the dudes in their own gang, and that how they get some beast of a nation shit.
Mississippi Damned?
No, I ain't seen it.
I beg you, go on Netflix, go watch that film. And they're talking about, you know, the cycle of violence and paedophilia and how it affects generation after generation. That film is sour. It's really painful.
And I think with all the horrible things that happen in everywhere, like, why do we expect our Hollywood idols to not
be the same? Yeah, exactly.
If anything, the handful of people who have, like, for a fact, there are so many more abusers in Hollywood.
I think the problem with Hollywood is, for one, you have the people who then take on a moral touch, you know, a moral banner. and right there, you've got Bill Cosby and his respectability politics. Yeah. You have Africa Bambaataa and the whole peace and love stuff. And you have Woody Allen, who it's just the bare-face hypocrisy. Yeah. Even if you were to say, okay, Dylan Farrell, there are two sides to the story. Nobody knows. He married his daughter.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what anyone says. I don't care how many times you want to tell me it's his stepdaughter. Yeah. He's not related.
He waited until she was of age of consent.
No.
He raised that. That's grooming.
That's full on grooming. Yeah. You don't know at what point he decided that. Boy. Especially if he was doing it to Dylan, right? Yeah. You don't know at which point he decided that, you know what, you are now a girl that is at the right age to be recipient of my full on feelings. Let's start developing it. You don't know when that happened.
And Raylan Farrow, his son, he's there with like his and you know, he's made jokes on Twitter. Like, I remember once he was like happy Father's Day, or I call it like brother-in-law's day.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, because like, what do you do? Like, just do that to your and other then, kid as well. And you've put your other kid in a position where his sister is married to his dad. That is it. And he grew up with his adopted sister far more than he saw Woody Allen, who was off like doing movie after movie after movie, and it's fucked him up. And I just think how, you know, everyone's got messy personal lives, but surely there's a line. Surely there's a point where we say, you know, let's not continue to lord this guy. Also, his films he's making now are shit.
Well, even if he made brilliant films, he still needs a bullet in his brain. You know what I mean?
You can bring R. Kelly into that, because R. Kelly, you know, he did that whole 46-minute autobiography singing thing, right? The man is still making brilliant music. He's still getting PRS or ASCAP whenever his songs are played.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just can't.
But I do think there's a difference.
Until the man is dead. Until he's dead, and it is a bunch of lawyers and probably the people who he has molested who are making money off his estate. Fuck it.
I can't see Bambaataa being alive much longer. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I think someone's got a bullet for him. I ain't gonna lie. Seriously, someone's got a bullet for
him. But I do think with Bambaataa versus the R. Kelly and the Allen thing, and R. Kelly and Woody Allen are the two people that I just am repulsed by and can't have anything to do with their art. And that is mostly because I feel like their art definitely profits off the image that they have, like R. Kelly.
I think Bambaataa, the whole idea of old school hip hop, I feel like his music
I don't know,
well, musically it's only a couple of tunes, so it's easier to dismiss, but here's a question for you, you can dismiss his music, right?
Yeah.
But can you erase him from history?
No, you can't erase anyone from history.
No, but I'm just saying, like, the same way in which, like, let's say Ike Turner wrote a tune called Rocket 88, which is credited as being one of the first rock and roll tunes ever.
Yeah.
It's credited as being one of the first rock and roll tunes that ever used the distorted guitar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not many people know that, because Ike Turner's contribution to rock and roll has been erased because of what Ike Turner did during his life, right?
Same with kind of like Jimmy Savile, and the whole BBC can no longer show any of his...
Exactly. There's so many episodes of Top of the Pops. There's so many episodes of Top of the Pops that can't be shown. There's so many episodes of Top of the Pops that can't be shown because of Jimmy Savile, right?
Well,
and so the question is, can you or should you erase?
I mean, like, you can.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Like, would the world suffer too badly if...
It would be like The Matrix. People would go, what came on before Tribe Called Quest? And everyone would go, I don't remember.
Right.
It didn't happen. No. That map has deleted. No. All that's there is cold. You know, just trampled cold.
Good art is, you know, I did a literature degree, and I had a joke in my very white university where I was like, I just want to find one writer that I'm going to write about in my essays that it wasn't sexist or racist or both. That was it. Every single time we had anyone on a reading list, I just Google like blah 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 name racism. It'll come up. Every single person, if they weren't a racist, they're a sexist. If they weren't a sexist, they're a racist or both. Literally every person I did.
But maybe that's what makes good art.
You know, I can tolerate sexism. I can tolerate stupid actions.
Yeah.
But also with R. Kelly, like his songs, things like Bump and Grind. And like
keep those, it on the down low.
In those like, AJ, when you know the context, number. It's disgusting. Yeah, and I just feel repulsed when I hear the context because of the context. I think for me, that's the line, and I just can't even listen to that.
When, like, a man is so talented and he's so good and he's going away with it so much, it's like Bill Cosby cracking jokes about Spanish fly. Anyway, you go, Spanish fly. Yeah. We just put some Spanish fly in a drink and everyone's laughing. Everyone goes, ha ha ha, it's funny because it's ironic. It's not ironic to him.
Right. Yeah, no, it's wow. I ain't gonna lie, the band, but I say that BAM shit.
That's probably why his songs didn't do well, because at some point he started writing songs about, you know, two boys are very good.
No.
All right, so you've come up with a song, you've done a song. I think it's it's my turn.
Better be a good one.
Better be a good song. I think I'm going to go with Hotline Bling. Drinking Hotline Bling.
Josh wins.
Yes.
To call me on my cell phone late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone late night when you need my love. I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing. Ever since I left the city, you and me, we just don't get along. You make me feel like I did you wrong. Going places where you don't belong. Ever since I left the city, you got exactly what you asked for. Running out of pages in your passport. Hanging with some girls I never seen before. You used to call me on my cell phone late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone late night when you need my love. I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing. Wondering if you're bending over backwards for someone else. Wondering if you're rolling backwards for someone else. Doing things I taught you, getting nasty for someone else. You don't need no one else. You don't need nobody else. No, why you never run alone? Why you always touch and roll? Used to always stay at home, be a good girl, you was in the zone. You should just be yourself. Right now you're someone. Night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone late night when you need my love. I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing.
And that was
Hotline Bling. Hell in musical.
Let me introduce the song, Johnny.
Who's it by?
It's Hotline Bling, but it's a cover by Scott Bradley.
I couldn't tell.
Oh,
and
my God,
some,
man.
I think some girl called Christy Gatti sang it.
Me and Bridget have run
Christina
out.
Gatti.
We've run out of wrists to slit, yeah. Right?
No.
From listening to that.
That was awful.
So at least bad. My song had some historical. I was laying the ground historically. Did you see how excited Bridget got? You see how excited Bridget got when you said Hotline Bling, right? She loves Drake. Drake's her man.
Why do you hate covers so much?
I love covers. I don't like my ears being shredded by music.
But that was so Amy Winehouse, isn't that what you guys like?
No, don't you young people
like Amy Winehouse?
No. That's singing from the top of the voice. She started to sing where you sing in like your jaw.
I love there. I am the Louis Walsh of this. You guys tried to Louis
that
Walsh
song. Louis that Walsh song all of you. Made me want to give up my cell phone, right? And go and get an old school dial ring ring. You
it
know what I mean?
It was a terrible song.
It was awful. Yeah, okay. Josh, it was awful.
Speaking of music that might be awful, horrible, 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 mighty good, yeah. Smooth as peanut.
What did you like, say? Who did you say that song by? Whitey McWhiteface. That's what we're talking
about. All right, what are we going to talk about in this section? It's music, innit?
Yeah. Music.
So yeah, there's been, I mean, this year has been the year of the drop, really. Like, we've had surprise drop. Many
so what is the surprise drop?
Is when artists of a note of cultural, note of Twitter prominence,
yeah.
Decide to just release an album. Just like, wham.
No single.
No signal. No single.
No warning.
Barely any warning.
But you need to have a prominence. Like,
yeah.
I can't release a single. No one's going to give a shit.
The poetry scene might do. They might be like, Bridget.
That's
I know who be waiting for Bridget's release. We all know who's waiting for Bridget's release, man. You know what I mean? He's lying in a gutter somewhere. Lying in a gutter somewhere with a needle sticking out of his arm, wondering why did you do this to me? You know what I mean?
But anyway, just we've had releases from Beyonce, yeah. Azealia Banks, Drake,
James Blake,
Skepta,
Radiohead,
Kanye West. Have I said Beyonce already?
Yeah.
David Bowie.
Well, Kanye has mastered
Rihanna.
Well, okay, David Bowie wasn't really the drop, right? David Bowie dropped. David Bowie dropped, and then they released his album.
He released the album and then he died.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Because he did a video.
Blackstar.
Well, that's got to be
a tribute to the Ghanaian football team.
That's got to be.
No, it wasn't.
How do I know? Have you listened to it?
I have listened to Blackstar a lot, actually. At no point.
If you listen to it. If you listen to it backwards, all you hear is God
Jollof,
bless our homeland.
As I've mentioned before, like, you know, Josh hails from Nigeria, Bridget hails from Ghana. This is a tale of two Jollofs. this debate will never, ever, ever. Whoa. David Bowie died trying to figure out which is the best Jollof, right? You know what I'm saying?
But you know? He settled on the Black Stars.
Right.
Did anybody have any favourites in this?
Skepta's Konnichiwa was amazing.
It's just fantastic.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's just because think about it. Before it dropped, we had already been talking about Grimes' need to step up its game and bring out albums. And he listened. Yeah. He listened.
But isn't
obviously, Skepta's listening to our podcast. You know what I mean, and he stepped up his game and dropped it hard.
I spoke to Musa Kwanga about this recently, and he actually argues that they've been two great Grime albums.
Well, why doesn't he jump on a plane and come over here and be a guest on our show?
I was like, come at me, bro.
Exactly.
One of his two great Grime albums.
He said Skepta was one, obviously, and then the other one was Made in the Manor by Kano.
Kano was...
Made in the Manor.
So Kano is my longest crush of my life, because I have consistently had a crush on Kano since I was a teen. And all right. I am
so that's why things
so
didn't work
happy.
Out between you and Mr. Titanic. You know what I mean? Home sweet home.
You were stroking his bed. You were stroking his head in bed and going, oh my God, I could love you.
Can we make jokes about Josh's hard drive again? It's a better.
Kano,
you know what? I remember getting Kano's first. I remember getting P's and Q's.
Yeah.
And just being like, this is amazing.
But to me, Kano felt like hip hop to me. Maybe just
that's what I argued. Yeah. I argued it was a hip hop.
But it was definitely. I don't know. I'd call it grime, but like a sort of hip hop beat grime.
He had an East London flow. But
and it was good. And I remember when he dropped London Town. I remember listening to that.
Yeah.
And he just switches it up right at the end and being like, what?
He's an intelligent rapper.
Yeah, he's really. I'm so. And he's the only one of those guys who survived the sort of pre big grimy guys like
Wiley. Wiley survived. Out of pure persistence.
I don't put Wiley in the same. Like, I was listening to Kano. I was listening to Sway.
Getch.
And they're around, but not, they're not dropping.
I see, to me. Yeah.
And oh, you know, Sway, come back. I'm still here for you if you wanna make a comeback.
Sway,
another Ghanaian guy. But yeah, Kano's Maiden in the Manor was incredible.
That's brilliant. And that, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'll give. What was the other great grandma?
Well, yeah, just Konnichiwa
and
Maiden in the Manor.
Yeah, I like it's James Blake's.
I've grown really to love it a lot more now.
Bit
than,
of a grower, but I really enjoyed it.
I personally don't care. You go really for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't like Radiohead's.
Radiohead's. It has a couple of tunes, but let's just be honest. I think we're all just happy that they've picked up their instruments after King of Limbs.
Yeah.
I think we're just kind of like, you know what? I'm so glad you've decided to no longer run with the kids. You've let your fortet obsession in the background for the remix.
You've gone through your midlife crisis.
You've gone through your midlife crisis.
And now you're just heading for old age now.
I hold a grudge.
Why?
Tom York, Latitude 2014 or 15. And it was going to be DJ EZ doing a mystery set in Latitude. And they delayed it for an hour because they had a special guest and it was Tom fucking York.
Right.
Try and tell people at 12 o'clock in the morning, pumped up, ready to listen to Garage, that they're going to listen to fucking Tom York warbling for an hour.
Wow, and you really are angry.
Yeah,
I can actually see the veins pulsing on your neck.
Angry.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we've got a million Radiohead fans that are so glad they come back.
Versus
Bridget.
Exactly.
Bridget and her little Garage collective that were probably too stoned and high to even remember the night, right?
It was
from
great.
Latitude.
I love
you. I think of all of them, the most noticeable of releases has to be Beyoncé, though.
Yeah,
just because
she's Beyonce.
I think Beyonce took it to an extra level. She didn't just drop an album, she dropped a visual album yet again. And then she just dropped a visual album like before, where it was just kind of like songs all together with music. This one was one coherent narrative. It was long running story all true, and it had
Hold Tight Warsan Shire.
It featured Warsan Shire in the middle of it, provided the interludes and the connection between each tracks. The cinematography was amazing. Is it possible to separate the album, the music, from the visuals?
You shouldn't,
but
I don't.
But then, are you really going to just kind of like?
Well, no. I mean, there's certain tunes that you just like to listen to on your, you know, on your headphones, right? And then there are certain tunes when they drop in a club. Do you know what I mean? You might not checked for them when you're like listening to them by yourself, but in a club you go, oh wow, like say that, like what we're talking about with the Fetty Wap, right?
Yeah.
You know that bass drop in a club is gonna knock you out. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Right? But the video for it, I can't even remember, wasn't he like he's some half naked girl and he's throwing some money around. So he's obviously come up with a very original idea for his video, right? You know? But in terms of like,
I think it's important to recognise that some music, it's why some things like so much music is headphone music. And I love headphone music sometimes. Like a lot of hip hop I really love is just sitting in my room, headphone, hip-hop music. But I don't want to listen to that in a club. I don't want to listen to that even in a group of people at a party. But for the headphone music, it's great. And I think with Grime and going back to Skepta, I think Konnichiwa really transcends a lot of that. And I think that's why it works so well.
Yeah.
In that it is good headphone music, but it's also like, I would love to hear that in a club.
Yeah,
like,
no,
and I think that's why it works.
The game up.
Yeah. Yeah,
speaking about Konnichiwa, okay, for me, the high point was definitely hearing Pharrell on it. You know, I think Pharrell murdered his track.
Yeah.
As a status.
Did Pharrell produce that?
And there's a similarity between our podcast and Konnichiwa in the sense that there is no presence of Drake. Right? There's no presence of Drake on Konnichiwa, and there was no presence of Drake in our podcast, despite the promise.
Who burned the coffee beans?
Bridget,
if you knew how much I hate this guy. No, not Drake. Josh.
I know how much you hate
Josh.
If
you knew how much I hate this
Josh.
Guy, right?
Why?
You know what I mean?
What do you
why? Mr. Amy Winehouse.
For everything.
Bling.
Bringing that crap. Like, just
okay.
Yeah, Drake wasn't on maybe he'll be on like a JME mixtape.
Yeah, the negative side of it I felt was like a lot of what made the album, what I think makes the album a great grime album, I'd already heard before. Not my house, man, and
but he put it as an album, and I feel like that's important rather than just letting it scatter in the wind, like so many great grime artists do, and then after ages do a mixtape. Like he put thought into it. It's an album. It's a real album, and I think it's an important statement to make.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to raise the game. I think it's going to force everyone to be like, fuck, I've got to like really, even people people who are also really great, like the JMEs, like, I think that's really going to push them to a level where, I mean, first of all, they're elated, but also just like, it's going to make them be like, I'm going to do an album. I really want to do an album.
Because I feel like, you know, we've already talked about this. I feel like grime is at the point where if it really, really does want to kind of solidify itself as, I mean, I think it already has. Mm-hmm. It's already kind of like a UK mainstay.
It's a UK product.
But I feel like for a long time, I don't know any other genre that has skirted this long with only one genuine bona fide classic album.
Well, that's the interesting thing. The interesting thing about its survival because there have been so many like UK products, right? Like, you know, we brought out drum and bass, we brought out dubstep. There's so many different forms of music that have originated in the UK and have just peaked for a brief moment and then fallen. Mm. And grime, I'll be honest, I was one of those grime skeptics where I just thought to myself, "Wow, this ain't gonna last." This isn't gonna last. Yeah. And it has lasted.
But maybe that's in. I do think a lot of it is like, it's just a good, it's a good cocktail where you had a lot of youth, so they just weren't put together enough to suddenly start banging out the albums. Mm. Unlike something like Garage, where there were a lot of older guys who were good musicians already who were like, let's quickly push this. And no one was making Garage albums, really.
No.
Artful Dodger?
Artful Dodger was...
That album's actually quite good.
It is good.
And MJ Cole had an album as well.
Yeah. But I mean, it was single after single, banger after banger. And that was... I mean, now, if Artful Dodger was coming back, he'd do a sort of Timberland Presents, One Republic vibe, you know?
Yeah.
And that would be sick. Yeah. That would happen in 2010 if he was doing that. But, you know, in 2001, that wasn't a thing to just be a producer and hash out an album and just say I'm only producing it and that's my album. But yeah, things like Garage, drummers, they just peaked very quickly. And I think the fact that we had all these really young guys just kind of just hustling means it's gonna last a long time. I think it's gonna last a lot. It's already lasted longer
than according to Azalea Banks.
Actually, to be honest, I feel like this is a topic we have to reserve because we've already talked about this for 12 minutes and I want to talk about David Bowie, seeing that he's passed away.
Okay, go on, talk about David Bowie.
I mean, any of you like David Bowie fans?
I just like the general stuff like Gene Genie, Let's Dance, Rebel.
I like the pictures of him with him, you know?
She's
beautiful.
Because for me, David Bowie, I think a lot of my understanding of him was mostly as a movie star. Like, I love Labyrinth was sick.
What was that one Mr. Lawrence he did? What was the other one? Dear Mr. Lawrence or something.
He was in Prestige.
Oh, yeah.
He was in Cat People.
Oh, yeah, he played Tesla.
Yeah.
Prestige is one of my favourite movies.
I mean,
it is sad that he's gone.
I downloaded a whole bunch of his albums after he passed away. It's amazing how much stuff he had done.
Luther Vandross.
Yeah,
Luther Vandross was like a backing singer and helped write some of his albums. Yeah.
But also, this is someone who, as far as we know, has passed away with... Not that much of a controversy around his life.
Well, that's because you always look for controversy. So I know that the fact you said there's not much means you've been digging.
Oh, no. Yeah?
He had that period
when he was on drugs and he started doing like a lot of MF, handing out flyers and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. He had this character called the Thin White Duke where he was like...
He apologised for that afterwards.
But both Bowie and Prince, and I think it's really interesting that they both passed away kind of similar. And when we look back on this year, it'll be the year that those two giants died. And they both were sort of... You know, one black, one white, whatever, but they both definitely were, I guess queer is the word, in that they queered this sort of like, I don't know, like they definitely played with things like gender and presentation and their sheer quality and consistency and like volume of their output, you can look on Tidal, and they have all of Prince's albums and all of those albums, FYI,
Bridget is now a Tidal convert.
I'm a Tidal convert.
There's few things about me that are consistent, and I'm very cheap. I hate paying for anything. But I got the Tidal free trial, despite waiting for ages. And it was good because it was the week of Beyonce and Kanye and Drake, so that was
good. Rihanna to an extent.
Rihanna's album, which is my favorite album of this year, I think.
What?
No, but my most recently,
I like the way during that little you actually reviewed every track in the album. Your brain just went. No.
It's my most listened to album because I think it's, and I, you know, I only really like the first like 2/3 of it, but the last third it kind of drops off.
But Rihanna's had a very heavy work ethic in terms of like from the moment she come on the scene, she's been dropping albums and shit like every year.
In 20 years, are we going to look back? Is Rihanna going to have like? I mean, she's going that way. She's got, what, I think 7 albums?
She can Rihanna could do different. A concert, an hour-long concert of just pure hits.
And it's
pure
fantastic. Hits. I love her. I mean, she's not, she, you know, everyone's like, oh, she's not the Beyonce singer. I don't care. She has pop music like very few people do. And and she plays with it. She knows that, you know, sex sells. She knows that sex and music sells. And the music is sexy and it's fun and it's different.
The only bad thing Rihanna's ever done.
Go for it. Look at Josh. See how Josh is.
Let it.
Hold on. Josh, you're such a hater. Josh walks around with clouds and hands them out the silver lining.
We are 16 minutes ago. Let me say this.
Yeah. All right. Unicorns.
The one thing that is like I hold against Rihanna is that they wrote that song. What's it called? We Won't Stop song.
Yeah.
Which? Can't Stop, the one that Miley Cyrus sang. That was originally written for Rihanna.
And she tossed it.
If she hadn't, we would not have to deal with Miley Cyrus twerking.
Yeah, that's true.
Just think about that alternative universe.
Josh, somehow I feel that Miley Cyrus's twerking action was going to occur anyway.
Yeah, but we wouldn't
if we review all the alternate universes and dimensions, Miley twerks in the middle.
Like, no matter where you go.
Exactly. He could be Doctor Who and he could be fighting aliens.
Planet of the Apes, and just a twerk. A twerking gorilla in the tree.
But that song, the problem is, like, that song is actually kind of good.
It's kind of good,
whereas
but it's not
any,
Rihanna good.
Any other song would have been Miley Cyrus Try Hard, whereas that song was actually almost Rihanna
but
good.
But she's got an ear for it because she turned it down. Because, I mean, if she did it, it would have been great. But she knows how to like hear a banger. Like, so many of her songs are like,
that song was a banger for Miley Cyrus.
It was good, but I think
it wasn't Rihanna good.
It wasn't Work or like it wasn't. And even if you listen, I find it really interesting with Work on that album. Work kind of stands out. It's not the best, but it's very different. And I think they just did this whole album like, this is good, but we just need some ridiculous banger that's gonna rocket to the charts for 3 months.
Yeah,
like she does every year. And they got it.
So, as you are our guest, Bridget, thank you very much
for
being here for enduring the storm.
I've endured its pain.
You're going to be back next week?
No.
Would you like to pick our last song?
No, I've got a dedicated song. I've got a song. I've got a song.
I'm talking over the ladies.
No. No, right.
Do it.
Here's a song I want to dedicate to Afrika Bambaataa. This song is called Millie Pulled a Gun on Santa by De La Soul.
Trying to sound
intelligent.
Bye, guys. Love you. Thanks for having me.
This is the styling for a title that sounds silly, but nothing silly about the trifling times of Millie. Millie, a Brooklyn queen originally from Philly, complete with an accent that made her sound hillbilly. Around this time, the slamming drunk was milk is chilling, but even cooler was my social worker Dylan. Yeah, I had a social worker cause I had some trouble. Anyone who riff on me, I pop their dome like bubbles. He bring me to his crib to watch my favorite races. That's how his daughter Millie became one of my favorite faces. She had the curves that made you wanna take chances. I mean, on her man, I love to make advances. I guess a father must have got the same feeling. I mean, actually finding his own daughter Millie appealing. At the time, no one knew, but it was a shame that Millie became a victim of the touchy-touchy game. Yo, Millie, what's the problem? Lately you've been bugging. On your dookie earring, someone must be tugging. You were a dancer who could always be found clubbing. Now you're worried now with the frown you're lugging. Come to think your face will stink when deals around you. He's your father, what done happened? Did he ground you? Shouldn't flip on him cause deal is really cool. Matter of fact, the coolest seller in the school. He hooked up a trip to bring us all the Lacy's. He volunteered to play on Santa Claus and Macy's. Child, you got the best pops anyone could have. Dylan's cool, super hip, you should be glad.
Yeah, it seemed that Santa's ways was parallel with Dylan. But when Millie and him got home, he was more of a villain. While she slept and he crept inside her bedroom, and he would toss her, then would force her to give him headroom. Millie tried real hard to let this hell not happen, but when she fussed, he would just commence to slap.
Yo, Dylan, man, Millie's been out of school for a week, man. What's the deal?
I guess he was giving Millie Bruce's time to heal. Of course, he told us she was sick, and we believed him. And at the department store at Santa, we would see him. And as he smiled, his own child was at home plotting how off the face of this was, he was gonna knock him. When I got home, I found she had tried to call me. Mama, she had kicked to her head. How you doing? I tried to call her, honey, but her line was busy. I guess I had to make some bug out on Dylan.
I received a call from Mrs. Sick herself. I asked her how was she recovering her health. She said that what she had to ask would make it seem minute. She wanted to talk serious, I said go ahead, shoot. She claimed I hit the combo dead upon the missile. Wanted to know if I could get a loaded pistol. That ain't a problem, but why would Millie need one? She said she wanted a pop's deal and a heed one. Ran some style about him, pushing on a private. Look, honey, I don't care if you kick five it. There's no way that you could prove to me that deals flip. He might be the butt, but your jeans he wouldn't rip. You're just mad, he's your overseer at school. No need to play him out like he's someone cruel. She kicked that she would go get it from somewhere else. Yeah, whatever you say, go for yourself.
Macy's department store, the scene for Santa's kisses, and all the little brats demanding all their wishes. Time passes by as I wait for my younger brother. He asks his wish, I waste no time to return him back to mother. As I'm jetting, Millie floats in like a zombie. I ask her what's her problem, all she says is where is he? I give a point, she pulls a pistol, people screaming. She shouts the deal, he's off the hell cause he's a demon. None of the kids could understand what was the cause. All they could see was a girl holding a pistol on claws. Dylan pleaded mercy, said he didn't mean to do all the things that her mind could do nothing but cling to. Millie bucked him and with the quickness it was over.